and waiting in the readings these last couple weeks. These readings have not been light, and all of them have had a sense of already and not yet. Christ has already come, and Christ is coming. Hope and peace are for right now and are promised to us. This week, we celebrate joy in the midst of waiting, suffering, and sometimes even apocalyptic times. This summer, I was a hospital chaplain in Atlanta. Every morning, I took the elevator to the 7th floor of a big teaching hospital to the 71 ICU, where the most critical COVID patients in our hospital were. Every day, I wore a light blue chaplain's lab coat and dark gray scrubs, my hair pulled back into a tight bun, my N95 mask leaving red imprints on my face. As the Delta variant of COVID ravaged our unit, I listened. I listened to nurses cry from the trauma of watching our patients die in front of us. I listened to patients' final wishes and scrawled them on advanced directive paperwork with my gloved hands gripping a ballpoint pen. I listened to final goodbyes to my patients from their families on Zoom calls. And I prayed. I prayed for healing, though we know not what healing looks like. I prayed for hope in the darkest of times. I prayed for good lives and good deaths. And I also laughed. In the midst of daily death, daily ventilation, daily grief, and heartbreak and trauma, some of the hardest I have ever laughed has been with patients and nurses and doctors and, of course, especially respiratory therapists, some of the funniest people I know, in the halls of the 71 ICU. This was not whistling in the dark. This was not nihilism or sarcasm or consoling ourselves with distraction. This was not joy that undid grief. Nothing could mitigate the suffering all around us. This was joy that, somehow, miraculously, grew alongside our grief, refusing to let life's worst crush it. And nobody was having a good time when the passages of scripture we read today were written. John the Baptist was living in a land occupied by an oppressive government. Paul was in prison. Isaiah's culture was dominated by the Babylonians. And Zephaniah preached judgment in the midst of a corrupt political system. These were dark times. And yet, prophets instructed their people, commanded their people to rejoice. There is one way to understand a command to rejoice in the midst of suffering that bears a certain resemblance to something we've all experienced. You mention to someone you love that you're grieving the death of a loved one, and they reply, "But you should be thankful that they're in heaven now." You mention that you have a painful medical condition, and someone replies, "At least it's not worse. Everything happens for a reason. Don't cry, you have so much to be happy about." And these are attempts to diminish suffering with joy. But no amount of joy can take away our suffering. Even Jesus Christ was resurrected with his wounds still on his body. Joy does not undo suffering. The pain of the last 2 years cannot be taken away by the joy of being back in this building, worshiping together. The death toll of COVID was not rolled back by the joy of each new vaccination and treatment, but just as no amount of joy can take away suffering, Neither can any amount of suffering take away joy. Joy coexists with suffering, and suffering with joy, and there is still laughter in the COVID ward. Joy is not the solution to suffering, but a miracle growing within it. However sad and painful, Christmas still comes in the midst of the grief of the last 2 years. Life stays hard as it ever is, but when the time comes, we celebrate. And we must. As Jack Gilbert writes in his poem, Brief for the Defense, we must risk delight. We can do without pleasure, but not delight, not enjoyment. We must have the stubbornness to accept our gladness in the ruthless furnace of this world, to make injustice the only measure of our attention is to praise the devil. And none of our texts this week makes an attempt to explain away suffering. Rather, John the Baptist gives his people tasks. He tells people to do. Wendell Berry says resurrection is a practice, and poet Anna Kamenska writes that joy is not just a gift. In a sense, it is also a duty, a task to fulfill. Courage. Joy asks courage of us. Not the courage to brute force happiness, to get over it, but to be brave enough to drink from the cup of sorrow and the cup of joy. Joy in the midst of suffering is scary and disorienting. We may feel that our moments of delight in the midst of disaster are out of control or a betrayal of our grief. Philosopher Martin Buber acknowledges this, writing that moments of joy are beams of power that stream into the ordered world, dissolving it again and again. Where pain and joy coexist, we glimpse eternity. Joy is already and not yet present in our lives. We will one day be in a world with no suffering, but that joy breaks into our lives, even in the midst of our pain. Give yourself permission to experience pain and joy together, intermingled like wine and water, trusting God that neither is tainted by the other, and nothing is wasted in the end. For there is still laughing in the COVID ward. Thanks be to God. Amen.